Okay, well, we'll go ahead and get started for today. So before we have everyone introduce ourselves, I just want to start by saying thank you, guys. Thank you for coming. Our students have been really brave into, it's not easy to sit in front of a group of people and talk. And so I just want to commend first their bravery. And also, I just want to give us a reminder that this is about their perspective. So it could be really easy to hear something that maybe one of them shares and disagree with it. But in this setting, none of them are wrong because they're simply sharing their experience and their perspective. So that's just a quick reminder for us. I know I'm the type of person who likes to correct things because I'm like, that's not what I think. But just a reminder that they get to share their experiences with us and that they've been brave enough to choose to sit here and to speak up. And so before we get rolling, I would just like to pray for our time together, and then we'll go ahead and get started. So God, thank you so much for this morning and just the students that you've brought us and the willingness that you've given them to share their experience with us, God. I pray that you give them clarity of mind and clarity of hearts, God. And for us here who have the chance to listen, I pray that you give us the questions that we need to ask and hopefully some learning gets done here, God, and that we're able to learn about what it's like to be a high schooler right now and what that experience is like. So, God, I pray that you envelop this space and that you allow your glory to shine through this panel, God. And it's your name you pray. Amen. Okay, so go ahead, take a seat, feel free. The front row is really nice. But that's okay. So we have four students here. I'm gonna ask them to introduce themselves, tell us your name, where you're from, and then what grade you're going into. And if you would like to throw a fun fact in there, feel free, but I know that's a lot of pressure to put you on the spot like that. So go ahead, we'll start all the way at our right. Name, where you're from, what grade you're going into, and fun fact, asterisk, if you would like to.
Okay. My name is Cameron. I'm from Auburn, California, and I'm going into 10th grade. And fun fact, I like to read a lot.
Hi, I'm Ben. I live in Carlsbad, SoCal, and I'm going into 11th grade. And fun fact about me is I play tennis.
Okay, my name's Lily. I'm going into 10th grade. Oh, I messed up. I'm going into Las. Oh. I'm from Las Vegas, and I run cross country, and I play lacrosse.
Hi, my name is Katie. I'm going into 10th grade, and I'm from Lodi, California. And fun fact, I like to swim.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. You're so sporty, all of you. So friends that are here with us, we're just going to open it up for questions. So if someone wants to start us off and ask a question to our panel here, yes, feel free.
Not that much. I mean, I know in comparison to other people, it happens, but like, at least in my family, we didn't necessarily do a ton of phones. Like, I didn't actually get a smartphone till last year. And I don't hide from my parents very much, but.
Yeah, I don't hide much from my parents. It feels like dishonest to me, so.
I don't purposely hide anything from my parents. I don't tell them everything, but I don't purposely like hide anything because it's dishonest, and I have a good relationship with my parents, so.
I used to actually hide a lot from my parents and didn't tell them a lot of things, and I don't know, I think they kind of encouraged me like, hey, if you're going through anything, like you can tell us more than anyone else, and so I think that kind of encouraged me, so I kind of opened up a lot about a lot of things to them, especially my dad, and like he'll ask me questions like, hey, what's going on at school right now, or with your friends, or on the soccer team, or different things, and then I can kind of open up to him. So.
Yeah, right here.
I am in a private school, Tri-City Christian, and so yes, the atmosphere is very Christian. So when it comes to like, I used to go when I was younger to a public school, so when I made the transition, it was very different because the school, high school I'm in now is very small. So you know like everyone, you see everyone, yeah.
I go to a private Christian school, but last year, my freshman year was my first year, so I've been in public school up until now, basically.
I go to a public high school, and I've been going to public school my whole life. It has about 2,000 kids. I really like it because I can meet a whole bunch of different people and get to know others well.
I'm homeschooled, so I take classes at places, but mostly homeschooled. Yeah.
Yeah, right there.
For like my family, they just every week they take time out of the day or the week to just sit down and talk to you, like each of us one on one, and say like, "Hey, what have you been doing?" And "Hi, mom." No, but just to like to say like, "Hey, what's going on?" and stuff. And I think they kind of set up a pattern where I just be willing to talk to them, and they'd come talk to me, and.
My family always makes an effort to eat dinner together, like, every night, and so that's something that, like, really brings us close, and also, we talk in the car a lot, like, because we drive places, and so, yeah, that's, like, built my relationship with my parents a lot.
Yeah, right there.
Now, you don't necessarily have to do this. What my parents did, they did this program called Passport to Purity. It's like a little workbook. You go and you just go one-on-one with your parent, and they just tell you about all that stuff. And for me, it worked really well. And they told me around like, probably when I was like 12, 13 years old. So, yeah.
In like my personal opinion, I think it's better if you just tell your children, because then they'll figure it out through school and other ways, you know? Like, my mom didn't, I don't wish she told me about these things, but I found out through like friends and stuff right in sixth grade, and I don't know. But if you feel like you should tell your children rather than have them find out from all their friends, then yeah.
I think being in high school, like, you just experience a lot of other influence than what a Christian would normally experience. And I think that, like, that's a hard one. It was, like, good for me to kind of have a mix of both, like, to see what the world was thinking about all these things and doing, and what my parents were enforcing at home, like, so I knew what was the right decision for me.
Yeah.
I just have a question about social media. So our daughter goes to a public school. She'll be starting high school this fall. And when I got on her social media account and saw what her
Okay, so I personally don't engage in any social media. It's kind of like a negative influence, I think, to my brain, and I can get like addicted to it, so I just stay out of it.
I think it's good to like encourage to not like rely on it, because I think it's easy on social media to like, and I don't use it for this reason, because it's so easy to go on there and I see what other people are doing in their lives and it's like, oh wow, you know, they're having so much fun and what's wrong with my life, you know? And I kind of, it's so easy to get envious, and it's, you know, when you're on social media, everyone's giving a an image of their life that isn't necessarily 100% honest. So I think it's good to encourage kind of like an understanding that like you shouldn't rely on this for, you know, relationships, so.
Yeah, just like you said, I've stayed away from social media ever since I've gotten a phone. Same with my brother, we were kind of like in that sense. But yeah, social media, I've seen it with my friends that have it, that it just takes, if you don't want your necessarily your child to be like on their phone a ton, don't have them do social media, because it definitely gets, I've seen they're like on it constantly, and then like, I've seen some people, they constantly think about their self-image when they look at other people and how great their lives are, like you were saying, so.
So have you seen it change some of your friends that do, you know, participate in it versus the ones that maybe don't? Do you ever see like ups and downs of your friends, kind of their attitude or their sense of their self change based on it?
Kind of, I mean, it's hard to tell sometimes, but, I don't think necessarily mood, but like, I mean, no, I don't even know really.
Oh, I was gonna say, like, I'm the only person that I know that does not engage in like Instagram, like, okay, besides you guys, but so now, but right. It's sometimes I do feel kind of disconnected, but in a way that can be a good thing. So.
And how do you handle the peer pressure from being the only one that doesn't have it? Because we took everything away from her. She doesn't even have a smartphone now.
Yeah. I don't know. Just being involved with kids, like in real life. It's just being on a sports team, getting to know kids, as they are, not on a social media like platform. Yeah, but like my mom, she'll only use social media to check on our cousins. It's not like a huge thing for us.
Yeah, right here.
So, are any of you dating and have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? And when did that start? Sorry.
I don't have a boyfriend. I've never had a boyfriend, but I know a lot of my friends started getting like boyfriends and stuff in 6th and 7th grade, but I don't know if that really counts. It was like, oh, like you're my boyfriend, but they didn't really like talk or anything. It wasn't, I don't know. If that makes sense, yeah. I think when it really gets serious is like high, like 9th grade, but I don't have a boyfriend.
Yeah, I don't have a girlfriend like either. I'm not planning on having a girlfriend all through my high school career, mainly because I know, like, I've seen it with some people, like, that I know, like, that they'll have a girlfriend, but then because they go off to college, it's such a long distance they can't, and then there's a breakup, and I've heard that, obviously, that's very hard on people, and I'm planning on, I hopefully go dating people in college, but.
I don't have a boyfriend. I have like been realizing that like only God can fill my heart, not like some boy. And so, a lot of people definitely have boyfriends or girlfriends at my age, but it's kind of like a pathway to just not great stuff. So yeah, I stay away from it. But yeah,
It's interesting because. I don't know, I always thought like I'll probably wait till college, but on the other hand, like I have an older brother, his name's Corey, and he met like his first girlfriend at age 16, and that was the person he ended up marrying. And so I think it's important to have like the right mindset if you do date, and like to do it because you wanna get to know this person better, in like a serious way, as opposed to just doing it for like the label. Like, yeah, I have a girlfriend, and that's something you brag about. I don't think that's the right mindset to have it. So yeah.
Yeah, right there.
First of all, like, I don't know, I guess parents with a good worldview really helps, and like, because you're gonna be following them and doing what they do. And then second of all, like, I have three older siblings, and just they each chose kind of different paths as they went through high school and into college, and those paths took them different places. And to see, you know, I had one brother who kind of started to adapt to a little more of a secular worldview for a time during high school, and just I saw how that changed him, and like it was harder for him to go back to God after that. And so like as I saw the impact of what those decisions can do, it kind of influenced me to say I want to make the right decisions.
So I think my parents have had a huge influence on that. They really support like whatever choices I make, and they'll help me make certain decisions. But I kind of embrace like that I am different than most kids around me. And I think I like stay positive in that way. And I'm, yeah, so.
Similar to Karen here, I have two older siblings. I'm the youngest, and seeing how their lives went, and that they eventually, I mean, they really worked really hard and focused on like having a more mature worldview, and seeing that how good of colleges they've gone to, and like, yeah, I want to get into a good college, and it's just like you just really have to focus, and they have kept like God in the center of their life the whole way through. And like my sister, I mean, she's graduated, but like she's gone through different jobs, and like even though at one point she didn't get a job, God like used that and got her to higher, even higher point, and to like get even a better job than what she thought was right. And I see that, and I want that to happen in my life as well.
Yeah.
I know we already touched on this topic earlier, but once again, social media is, it puts so much pressure on people, because like a lot of people, they'll see another person's life, like I said, and he said as well, and they'll see like how great their life is and how many friends they have, and then they look at their own and they think, man, mine's worthless, like there's no way anyone else is going to love me as much as they love that person, and then they begin that comparing, and then eventually it can lead to the suicide.
So I had a friend on my soccer team, and his older brother committed suicide a couple months ago, and I just remember how hard that was for him. And my friend, like, we just, it was hard like going through that. And I remember him saying like his brother kind of felt pressured to get good grades and go to a good college and all that, and that pressure, he felt like he couldn't live up to that, what was expected of him by his friends and just people he knew. And that pressure is kind of what pushed him to say, you know what, I don't even care anymore, so.
Yeah, touching on both of yours, social media is a huge thing. Stories just, it's really sad. And I think that's kind of like a starting point. Bullying happens on social media as well, and it's really hard for kids. And then also, I forgot. Okay, well, I don't know. I have social media, and it's
there's a lot of pressure on it, but I think pressure from parents is a big thing too. A lot of people feel like parents want them to get good grades and want to go to a good college, and like that's really important, but I feel like it's really important that your parents support you too and don't constantly want you to be like better than you are, you know.
So do you think you can have social media and still be okay, like still feel positive about it?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of positive uses of social media too, to stay connected to people maybe, and I know, like, I have family members and my parents too, they use it, and they'll, you know, to stay connected to family and stuff, and in that way I think it's good, but I think it's so easy to just use it for like in a negative way that, you know, it's like it's a thin line, so.
Do your parents monitor your social media accounts?
My mom doesn't. I don't know, but like my grandma's on it, you know, so I don't post it, you know, so that's like, that's all the monitoring I need, you know. Exactly, you know, she lives kind of far away, so it's nice that she can see what I'm doing and, you know, my mom's doing, and I know that she really likes that. My friends, I love my friends. My friends are really good and they're really good influences. But when I start to see something bad, it's usually from people I just know that I'm not really close to. So I don't really see a point in following them anymore. So there's an unfollow button. I just unfollow them, you know what I mean? When I see they're doing something bad, it's just not good, you know? So.
Okay, going back to the suicide and stuff. So there is like so much pressure starting at like a really young age to get really good grades and, you know, starting in seventh grade, okay, you gotta plan ahead for college. Like it's kind of stressful, and like just accepting that you're good enough and like God accepts you and he wants you and you're chosen and holy, like that's super big. And I think, yeah, that pressure definitely adds to the rate of suicide.
Okay. First of all, like, as like a younger kid, I used to do a lot of the same things that my siblings did, and that was kind of my life. Kind of like, oh, I want to do what he did. I want to go to the college that he went to or that she went to. And like, I felt like God put it on my heart maybe a couple years ago. Just you don't have to be the same as your siblings to be loved. I love you for you, and that kind of made me realize I should do what God wants me to do, not what, you know, my brothers are doing or my sisters. And then, like, I think places like here, Mount Hermon, or, you know, youth group, or just places where I can go to kind of get away from all the turmoil just that goes on. And I think that helps a lot because it kind of refocuses your mind on God. So.
So for me, like this year, okay, what was I gonna say? Like, I noticed God in like the circumstances and the people around me, especially like at my school we have a Christian club, and I was like the only one of my friends going for the first like half of the school year, and then the weather started getting really cold outside, and that brought them inside to the warm room, and like, I don't know, I just see God in that, and like knowing that he has like helped me through that and like helped me bring my friends to Christ is just awesome.
I guess for me, it was specifically a verse from the Bible, Titus 3:5. He saved us not the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. That hit me really hard because, like everyone, I've done so many wrong, so many things, and, like, so many times I struggle. My biggest struggle was, yeah, I asked when I was younger, like, to be saved by God, but then I'm like, did it really work? And then when I read that verse, I just know that, like, as long as we're, like, I ask forgiveness and just we know, and I know in my heart that I believe, that just strengthens it, and that I know that he has saved me.
Again, like, connecting with other kids, like, youth groups and small groups at Mount Hermon, I've made some, like, really great relationships through that, and that is definitely encouragement to keep walking with the Lord, and, yeah.
Yeah, like, what you said, small groups are amazing. Like, I have small groups in my church, and it's just really fun to meet other people, you know, and who believe the same thing as you do, and you really build on each other, you know? Like, they strengthen your faith, and you strengthen theirs, and I think that's really fun, so.
Yeah, go for it.
Do you have a curfew? And if so, what is it?
Oh, okay. Our family, like, has always had a curfew, and for us, it was like, when you get to this age, you go to bed at this time, and then as you get older, so, like, when I was, 7 or 8, it was a lot earlier. I think maybe 8:30 or something like that. But, like, as I've gotten older, they've kind of said, like, okay, you're responsible enough to, like, make your choice. How do you feel in the morning, you know, when you stay up till 1 in the morning? Does that feel good? I'm like, no, it doesn't. So I'm going to choose to go to bed on time. But I think it's good to go to bed, like, earlier just to encourage that, just because it's a healthy living pattern.
So I don't drive yet, so, like, I mean, my mom drives me places, so I can't get home at a certain time. But, like, I think I have, like, realized, like, to be healthy and to be, like, fully rested, I need 9 hours of sleep. And so, like, it's also kind of self-discipline, like, okay, I have a big test tomorrow, like, I don't want to stay up late and be tired and not focused. So I try and use my best judgment. My parents don't enforce that, but I think that has made me stronger and kind of getting to bed on the right time.
I would say for me, it's like you said, when I was younger, and obviously I went to bed like earlier, like around like 7-ish. But now it's around either like 9 or 10-ish. Sometimes 11, it depends on the day. But yeah, like you said, just self-control. It's just like, yeah, if you have something really big coming up, you should probably go to bed earlier. My parents overall pretty much enforced it. I mean, sometimes it, especially during the summer, it's a little more chill, like I can stay up later if I want, but it's, oh man, just lost my train of thought. Yeah, completely lost it. It's gone.
Yes, right here.
If you guys do, like, sleepovers or hang at your friends' houses, what do you guys do? Like, what do you do if you're up till midnight or 1 with friends at one of the other parents' homes? What are you talking about? What do you guys enjoy to do with your friends?
So I have this friend named Daniel, and he and I are super close. Just, he's one of my, like, I don't know, like, spiritual friends that I can just talk about what I'm going through with. And I know we don't, like, hang out overnight very often, but when we do, usually we'll just stay up late just talking and just, I don't know, having a conversation with someone can usually help a lot. And like, the last time he stayed the night at my house for a while was during this terrible fire that was going on, and they were evacuated, so they moved into our house for like a couple days. And I just remember, like, he was worried about a lot of stuff, and I remember what he was going through. He was thinking, like, when I moved out, like, he was wondering, you know, these are the materials I want to keep, and how attached am I to these things that aren't that important? And so to just have a conversation kind of helped both of us. So I think at least when I do that sort of thing, I'd like to just talk and conversate.
Okay, so I've only been to, like, one sleepover, and I didn't like it. They're not my favorite things to go to, but like we just like hung out, watched movies, and I don't know. It's not my favorite thing, and my parents definitely like make sure that if I am gonna go sleep over at a friend's house, that it's someone we know and we trust, and I'm comfortable with doing it, and they're fine with it, and so yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of a bummer. Like I never did anything with my friends outside of school, mainly because I just lived so far away. But recently I've had a friend, and we did like, he came over to my house like once, but like overall we just kind of went to bed early. It was like 10, okay, maybe 11, but that was because, you know, we were playing video games, so it's bound to happen. But overall, yeah, we both wanted, or like, we both really, like, a lot of my friends are like, we love sleep, so it's like, we want to sleep in, but like, I've had the problem, like, going to bed late and I sleep in super late, and I'm like, man, I wasted my whole morning. And so recently I'm just like, I'm going to go to bed early so I actually have a morning to wake up to, so yeah.
I never really hung out with my friends outside of school up until this year, and to be honest, I really can't remember what we do at sleepovers. I mean, we talk, we hang out, we watch movies. A lot of us are on the same sports team, so sometimes we'll like discuss sports, and it's really hard to say. I think we just hang out, and a lot of times we watch movies, and sometimes we'll go to the movie theater. I don't know what we do. I mean, nothing bad, but I can't. I don't know.
Sports teams are a great way to get like your kid connected with like people, and like on my water polo and swimming team, it's like they know that I am like pure and like I'm different than the rest of them. Like I don't listen to certain types of music or like do certain dances or things, and but just like also just hanging out with them, like it's really enjoyable because they know that, but it's like team bonding. Yeah, just to get the sports side of that.
I know we have a question right here, and then we'll make our way over.
I've noticed, like, especially, like, my brother, he went to college. He eventually got it worked out, but because he went to the same high school as I'm going to right now, it's really small, and so you're used to that small groups, like, having your group of friends, but then you go to college, and there are so many people there, and you don't know anyone, and it's, like, just the best thing to do is just, I mean, if they have clubs or something that you might be interested in, I would say, like, I probably would join one. Or just kind of listen to people during like classes, people in my class, and see kind of what they're interested in, and see so I can gain friends that way, and hopefully that they'll have the same value in Christ as I do.
So I'm like really excited for college because I am excited to like look for a church and like a youth program, and and I'm really excited to make it my own and. Kind of just get involved in that and like maybe like some kids ministry, I don't know, yeah.
So my sister, she's in her senior year of college right now and she just started and she's playing soccer. And I know what she did is she surrounded herself with lots of strong friends that would help her faith as a like opposed to maybe bringing it down. And when she did that, you know, she met a lot of people that she grew really close to, and that really helped her to kind of stay strong when there's a lot of negative influences going on. So that's what she did.
Yeah, like just what you said, I was planning on finding like a nearby church and maybe finding some other people who believe the same thing I do. And if you just surround yourself with people like that, I think that would make everything a lot better.
Nice. Do we have a question in the middle? Yeah.
Yeah, I have a younger sister, and yeah.
I'm curious, maybe, I don't know how much younger she is, but how much did your parents expect from you in terms of, like, helping out with the younger sibling, and did you ever resent that, or did you feel like it was positive or negative?
Yeah, so she's, like, 2 years younger than I am, so like not that much younger, but we definitely have a close relationship. Like we don't, I mean, we have our differences, but I like wasn't really ever expected to take care of her because we were, it was kind of like a team thing. Like if we were home alone, like we do everything together, so yeah.
So I have two siblings that I really felt that responsibility. I have one little brother, Caden, 4 years different, so I did kind of have a little bit of that responsibility. Not as much, just to be someone he could talk to. And then I have an older brother, his name's Caleb, and he's the one you might have seen him around. He has the stick and the glasses, and he, it's interesting because, like, I used to help him with a lot of things. He's 2 years older than I am, and I'd help him, you know, get stuff or help him get in the car, just lots of little things. And I thought, you know, oh, why do I keep having to help him? I'm not getting anything out of this. And then, like, I don't know, he'd start talking to me, and he says a lot of things that are just, I don't know, very spiritually deep, and he's always thinking about that sort of thing. And so it was like I started to realize I'm getting almost more out of this than he is. And so it was kind of cool.
I'm the oldest. I have two little brothers that are 8 and 10, so the age difference is 5 and 6 years, so I definitely help out a lot. And my parents are divorced, so my mom works a lot, especially during the summer, so I watch my little brothers, you know, I help. So I definitely feel like I have a lot of responsibility with them.
Question over here.
I think, like, peer pressure-wise, on my soccer team, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that I definitely, it makes me uncomfortable, and a lot of things that are said, and it's just, I'm happy to have friends on that team that are close, you know, and that are Christian, but some of the things that are said, I have to either say, hey, maybe that's not really nice, maybe we shouldn't say that about that kid, I don't think, you know, because... You know, I have to kind of keep it down, but then on the other hand, sometimes you really can't do anything and you have to just walk away because it can have a negative effect on you. And I think it's so easy to just, I don't know, give your consent or say, you know, I kind of agree with them. And before you even realize it, you know, you're kind of supporting them doing things that aren't okay. And so I think it's important to maybe voice your concern and make it clear that you don't necessarily support that. Whether that means just talking or walking away from the situation.
Yeah, that's definitely happens a lot. And I think that you're probably not the only one who's feeling uncomfortable with it. There's probably other people who are like, this might not be the best choice. Or if you kind of start to say, hey, this isn't right, like I'm sure other people might follow you as well, so.
Yeah, like, I've had that happen with some of my friends, but luckily, like, I normally will just, I hear it, but I just, like, I ignore it, and I walk away, because there are some friends, and, like, that are, definitely don't agree with that either, and they're very firm, and kind of, like, their faith, and, like, they won't, obviously, sway an opinion, and sometimes I'm kind of, like, swaying an opinion, so I like to use them as, like, I mean, you could say, like, a rock, in a sense that... I'll normally go, if some of my friends are doing something I don't agree with, I'll normally go and hang out with them for the day, my other friends, and yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Is there something that your parents do that you wish they didn't do? Oh, too many?
Sometimes, most time not exactly sure, but like, I feel a lot of pressure to get A's on my tests and things, even though I'm like, these are, like, especially like the pop quizzes, I'm like, this is really hard, and I start sweating, I'm like, oh no, if I get a bad grade, they're gonna, like, freak out, but, like, most of the time that doesn't happen, but it's just in my mind, I'm thinking that, and, because, like I said earlier, a lot of my two older siblings, they were straight A students, and they got in, like, great places and colleges because of having good grades, and I feel like I have to like do like the best I can, even though I know like I might not get a grade, I might get a B, and like to me, like a B on something's terrible, and like, and it like freaks me out. So yeah, it's I wish they would maybe lighten up a little bit, but overall, I know they want what's best for me.
So actually, on the opposite side of that, my parents, like, they want me to do well, but if I get a B, like, they know I did the best I could, and I know I did, so that really is, like, self-discipline as well. And, but yeah, that's also, like, some pressure to, yeah, do well, so.
Yeah, I'm the same. My parents, they want me to do well, but it's a lot of self-discipline. Like, they're not constantly putting pressure on me to do, like, get straight A's. I mean, I get straight A's, like, on my own because I want to, you know, and not because they're forcing me to. Like, if I do get a B on a test, you know, or something even worse, my mom just, she tells me it's okay, you know. Like, parents are supposed to love you, you know, and it's really hard, I know, for some people, people that are supposed to be loving you, putting so much pressure on you, and I know that's a lot of pressure.
Okay, so my parents, like, I guess, like, as I was younger, I kind of wish that I would have known that a lot of things that we did, like, they could have told me, like, you don't have to do this, like, I don't know, it was sports and stuff. I wish I had known that I had a choice in that, and I don't know, I felt like I was pressured into, and I kind of told myself that was me kind of making it up, and I wish I had kind of known that I had more options and choices. And once I did make the hard choices, you know, which, you know, sometimes it was like leaving a friend group, or maybe not hanging out with these friends, or maybe not, you know, playing on this sport anymore, hanging out with this group, and I just remember, like, they were like, hey, that's okay. And I wish I had known that, because it felt so much pressure, like, I don't know if I should do this, you know, this is such a big decision. And there was times when I had friends, and, you know, my friends' parents were friends with them, and it was like, I thought I was obligated to, you know, hang out with them and be friends with them because my parents were, and then, like, I would stop hanging out with them, and they'd be like, that's okay, you know, you're allowed to make those choices.
Honestly, I'm not that sure. I've never actually gotten a girl's phone number before, but I would say, like, one of the best things you could do, possibly do, is have, if you're gonna text a girl, maybe have it, like, on a group chat with multiple people, so that way it will force you, like, if it will hopefully force you to be more clean and stuff, because you have other people in the text chat, and you don't want, like, them to think bad of you as well, so.
I have actually one friend that I text, and I have her number, and I think it's important that, like, my parents have made it clear, like, we're going to monitor your conversations with her, and it's not, like, regularly, it's pretty infrequent, which is good, because I want to be responsible, and I think that helps a lot just to know that I'm being held accountable. And then I have friends, you know, who I kind of just fill in and stuff, and they kind of hold me accountable too. So just maybe having people that hold you accountable for what you're doing would probably help a lot.
So I think I've only had a voice phone number in like fifth grade. That was pretty random, but like I think now I don't really keep in contact with any boys. Like it's not, like, I would rather just be friends with them like out, like in life. Like I don't really see the point of like texting someone when you can just talk to them and have like a better like life conversation. It is definitely, that's hard. Like, I think you have to kind of figure that out. It's like the certain situation, like whatever you feel about it, so.
Yeah.
Do you have any friends that aren't Christian?
I do. Yeah. Like maybe a couple of years ago, I started making more friends that, you know, weren't Christian. And I think it's so easy for it to have a negative influence. And this guy I knew gave me this analogy, and he put me up on a chair and I was standing, and he was on the ground, and he said, just stand there and hold my hand, and he said, try to pull me onto the chair. And I tried, and I actually came off the chair. And he said, it's so much easier to be pulled off than to pull someone else on. And so I think it's so easy to like have friends that can be a negative influence. So I think at least for like me with my friends that aren't Christian, it's important that I watch myself, and like I have to think a lot about everything I do before I do it, because I don't want to make any decisions that, you know, affect me negatively. So.
And what, in your view, makes those friends not Christian?
Just
how do you know that?
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? I think just their worldview, and I have friends that their parents are Christian and they have a faith, but the kid doesn't necessarily have that. And it's like, I think you kind of tell by the way they act, and just like their moral compass maybe is less, like, I don't know. It's, so with those friends, I think it's important that I try not to like hang out with them as much, just because it's very easy for me to be manipulated and to like maybe try just do what they're doing without thinking. Because I kind of act on an impulse very easily. So when I, you know, when I'm around those friends, it's hard. And I think I can tell that they're not Christian just based on how they act and the way they talk about other people.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think for me, I really like to have friends that are not Christian, and I like to have a big like variety of friends. Like at school especially, I love knowing a lot of people. And it's like a chance for you to shine your light to others. And it's like you do have to be kind of careful around it. And I think you would know if someone like isn't Christian. For me, at my school, it's like the language they use, like the gestures, like just like themselves. Yeah.
I like what you said about shining your light, because I go to another like Christian camp that's almost like identical to Mount Hermon, except it's without your family. So you're by yourself with like other friends. And one of the talks we were given was about shining your light, and like they turned off all the lights in the room, and you know, that night, like a lot of us had given our lives to Jesus, and like if you just had in the past, or if you just did that night, we took our phones, we turned on our lights, and it was kind of crazy. We lit up the entire room. So I think it's kind of important to have friends that aren't Christians, because you can really do a lot of good, you know? Yeah, that's definitely a hard spot. Like in sixth grade and going into seventh grade, I realized that the friends that I had made all throughout elementary school, they weren't kind of going on the path I was going on. And that was really hard. Like I did have to sit at lunch like with just one other person, and it was like,
it was not as fun as it looked over the other. It's really hard. And also that's happened at church too. Like, people start being interested in things that you don't really necessarily want to be interested in. And so I think just being yourself and not changing for other people and being firm in like your beliefs, and you'll like automatically like attract people who may think the same thing. But it's also like, keep those friends too. Like, they may come to Jesus. Like, it would, yeah.
So especially for me, I was going to public school all the way from kindergarten to eighth grade, and then I hit freshman year of high school and moved to a different school with not knowing anyone, and I joined a friend group, mainly because one of the kids had gone to my church, so I knew him. But I noticed that, after the first week or so, that he acts different at school because he has a group of friends. And I realized that those friends, no matter what I said, they just didn't really listen to me. They didn't actually care about my inputs, and like, it was so scary for me because I'm like, man, I just made these friends and I don't know what to do. Like, do I switch or something? So like, slowly, like, it was really hard, but I eventually just kind of ventured out and like broke away from them. And eventually I did find a good friend group, and I'm so happy I made the decision because they are way more like me. They totally like love to hear what I have to say. And yeah, but overall it's really hard. It's a real struggle because it's like, you're like, it's not, like you said, it's just not as fun. You're like, who do I, it's like, they're doing all that fun stuff, but I'm by myself. And yeah, but eventually, even though you have to work really hard, I just trust God throughout the way. And he showed me a good friend group, so.
Yeah, it's like completely uncomfortable. it's hard. But I think if you kind of enforce that, like, maybe you should find some friends that do have the same beliefs as you do, and like, iron sharpens iron, and so it would, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, go for it.
So you guys have used favorable language to church or to camps like this, my church and the ones I go to, so I think that's great. Like, I have a two-part question. First answer, would you consider right now changing your church? You know, you're going to church, and probably where your parents take you, or your family's gone, and for a long time, would you consider changing? And unfortunately, high school's going to end, and you're going to go to a place where you have to change. So would you consider changing, and what are you going to look for in a group to fellowship with?
So, yeah, I would consider changing. I'm not super happy with my youth group right now. Like, my youth pastor that I've been going to, I don't even think he knows my name, so it's kind of like rough. But I like visiting other youth groups and I like meeting new people, and like, in the future, I would definitely look for some like a youth program that's like really just involved in their students' lives and interested, caring, and I would be excited to meet new friends and people.
At least for me, when I in a church, I'm kind of looking for what they believe, like at the core of their church, because what they believe at the core of their church just permeates throughout their entire church, and it affects every decision they make. And so I think it's really important that I know what kind of faith this church is, you know, and obviously there's tons of different denominations and branches and stuff. And so I think it's good to like try a lot of different ones and to kind of get an idea of what each different denomination or church represents and what they're like, what's important to them. And I think it's a very individual thing, because some churches, you know, are more worship focused and some are more in the word than others, and some go deeper. I think it's important to know like what each different church is like to get an idea of what kind of church really benefits you and is good for your soul.
Okay. For me, I don't, as of now with my church, I'm kind of happy where I'm at, because the service I go to, not many people actually come to it. Like, a good amount comes, but it's like 10, 15 people. So it feels like a small group in and of itself. So we really get into the message that we're talking about, into the Bibles. And for me, I wouldn't want to switch. Eventually, later on, when I don't have to, like going to college, I'm not exactly sure what to look for, but I think I really connect with God the best during worship. So I guess if they have a good worship team, and then probably, like you said, a good core belief, that would be good for me.
I'd be really sad to leave my church. I really love my church. Everyone really cares for you, and everyone knows everyone. I love it so much. I'd be really sad to leave it. But obviously, when I go to college, I'll have to find a new church, and what I'll look for is, someone or some church that's really involved in everyone's lives, and people who really care for you, because I feel like that's really important.
We have time for one more question, if you guys got it.
Actually, yeah.
So at the church that my family goes to, they have a youth group that it's very cliquey, actually, and I kind of understood what you're saying. They all go to the same school, kind of, and they all have a very similar mentality. And I just felt like I wasn't, neither was I accepted, or I couldn't really integrate myself into that group, and it wasn't really helping me. And so maybe a couple weeks ago even, I just felt like a ton of my different friends, and I didn't tell anyone about this, but a lot of my different friends, they were inviting me to their youth group to just try it out. And I went to some, and they were, I don't know, they felt exclusive maybe. And then I just was invited to this one youth group, and I went to it. And I just felt included, and they kind of were listening to me. And what they believed was very, it felt like very deep into God's word, as opposed to some youth groups where it's just kind of about fun. And that was good. And it was interesting the way that worked out, because I had so many friends in that youth group that I didn't even know that these people went to that. And I was so glad that, God led me to somewhere where I could go and kind of grow in the faith, as opposed to just hang out with friends and have fun. So.
Yeah, youth group cliques, they really get me. I don't like them. Yeah, it is. And so, for me, I think that I've been to church with all these girls since I was, I've known, and it's just, they're always together, and I don't go to the same school as them, they kind of all form this, group of kids from this one school and church, and I don't really like it. I feel like I would really like a youth group that would just bring kids from everywhere, just so everyone's kind of new and kind of like Mount Hermon. And I think just breaking through that is if someone is coming in new, sit with them, just be inclusive. And yeah.
At my church, so I live in Las Vegas, but there's a city right next to Las Vegas, about 30 minutes away. It's called Henderson, and that's where my church is, so it's a little bit of a commute to church, but it's so worth it, because I get it, you said, everyone just kind of comes from everywhere, and they're all from Henderson, so I obviously come from Las Vegas pretty far. But it's really interesting because it's kind of my place, away from school. I don't have all the people from school coming, And it's really nice to just talk to everyone. But I don't know, I feel I've never really had problems with cliques in church. It's really bad in my high school, at least. It's really stereotypical. But I don't know. I've never really had it in church groups because
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Like, I also, my church is a bunch of different schools. I have some from my school. I have some from other schools. But a lot of the group of friends I hang out with in my church were all from different schools. And I only got in there because they were really inclusive. A lot of them were from the same school, they were happy to, bring me in anyway. I haven't had a huge experience with cliques, but...
I think for me also, with the Christian club at school, since I have a super, super busy after school time, it's really hard for me to get to youth group. And I wish I could go because I feel like I would be more involved in it and it'd be awesome, but it's hard for me. And so I really liked going to the Christian club, and the kids there, they were from my school, and so that was different because I've never been to church with any people from my school, and so I really liked that.
What are you guys gonna be when you grow up? Sorry, I just snuck off. I just asked, or what is sounding good at this point for where you guys are?
For me, computer sciences major, probably, so.
I don't know. I want to figure it out. Yeah, I feel like there's also a lot of pressure to figure that out too. Yeah.
For me, I want to be a veterinarian since forever, ever since I knew what a veterinarian was. But lately, I don't know, I'm kind of turning away from it and I have no idea what I want to do. So, I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea. I'm hitting my junior year, and they're you gotta start applying for colleges. I'm I don't even know what I want to do. But I do
amazing track so far.
I do science a lot, and math, which is great. But there's a lot of sciences. I don't know which one to do.
I'm a little sad. None of you said camp counselor. Come on. Well, that is our time, so we are out of time. But students, I want to say I've just been so impressed, and I feel like I could speak for the group of one, just your maturity, and two, just how well you know yourselves and are able to speak well and articulate. I'm always surprised and always just impressed by these panels and by you guys specifically. So. Great job, and thank you for your courage to share your perspective with us. Yeah. All right, everyone else, that is our time, so you are free to go. Fly away.